It's one of them songs.
Man, whoever did this, I need whoever does this to do my sermon notes. That's great. Y'all can't see this, but there's words up here and they're big. That's good. I need that. When I got here, I used to, I do my sermon notes every week, and when I got here, they were small, and I've been here. I'm working on my 10th year here, and the typeface keeps getting bigger and bigger. I was thinking this week, I've already gone to a 14-point typeface, if you know what that means. I'm trusting that I can just still do my notes and do a 16-point soon. Anyway, it all starts with trust. It all starts with trust. The series is opening the Bible. So we're going to be opening the Bible and looking basically all the way through Genesis to Revelation over the next 8 weeks. Okay? Now, let me just tell you, for example, this week we're talking about trust, about how God wants us to trust Him. Next week we're going to talk about not giving up, and we'll be looking at Exodus and 1 Samuel. And then we're going to look at the monarchs, the kings, and we're going to talk about how the people were running away from God and how they need to stop. We need to stop running away from God. Then we're going to talk about the predictions. That's, when we keep God first. We often look at prophets and we think prophets are talking about prophecy. Well, one of the gifts of prophecy is encouraging people to actually pay attention to God, to do Him seriously. I want to move this one off the side. I think it's that's ringing. Does everybody understand that? Prophecy, here's what a prophet does. For those of you that don't know, some people think a prophet tells the future. No, a prophet tells the facts. That's what a prophet does. A prophet looks at God's word and tells the facts. And so some prophets tell the facts about the future. But prophets can tell the facts about what's going on today and what's going on in our lives. So we're going to look at the prophets. We're going to look at doubts about facing adversity. We're going to look about God's greatest gift in Christ later on. We're going to look at the church and how God started the church. And then we're going to finish up with the end, how God finishes up with us. So we're going to be looking at all those things over the next few weeks. Now, today we're looking at starting with trust. Roy McLean tells the story of a beggar who stopped a lawyer on a street in a large southern city and asked him for a quarter. Taking a long, hard look into the man's unshaven face, the attorney asked, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" "You should," came the reply. "I'm your former classmate. Remember second floor, old main hall?" "Why, Sam, of course I remember you." Without further question, the lawyer wrote out a check for $100. "Here, take this and get a new start," he said. "I don't care what's happened in the past, it's the future that counts." With that, the lawyer hurried on. With tears welling up in the man's eyes at the generosity, he walked to a nearby bank. And stopping at the door, he looked through the glass into the bank and he saw all the people with their suits and ties and all the well-dressed tellers and all that kind of stuff. And then he looked down at himself and his rags and his how dirty he was. And he said, "They won't take this from me. They'll swear that I forged it." And he turned away. The very next day, the same two men met again. "Why, Sam, what did you do with my check? Did you gamble it away or drink it up?" The beggar said, "No." He pulled the check out of his dirty shirt pocket and told him why he hadn't cashed it. And the attorney said, "Listen, friend, what makes the check good is not your clothes or your appearance. What makes the check good is my signature. Now go and cash the check." See, it starts with trust in the Lord. He's the only one who has redeemed our lives. I guess you could say He signed the check and it was written in His blood. And it doesn't matter how bad we look. And it doesn't matter what we've struggled with. It matters what Christ has done for us. And so we may struggle with whether we're worthy to come down the aisle or whether we're able to do anything or whether we are good enough or fine enough or in the right place. But God says, listen, it's not you have to worry about. It's not other people you have to worry about. What you have to worry about, what you have to do is you have to trust in me. It all starts with trust. So what do you trust in? What do you trust in? Now, I picked out a few things because there are a lot of things people put their trust in. What do you trust in? Joshua 24:15. Joshua's about to let the people go and he's about to die and he's telling them that they're going to enter the promised land and they're going to have to make some choices. And he says, "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord or to trust the Lord, Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose house, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve, we will trust the Lord. What do you trust in? Joshua offered that choice to the Israelites, and that's the same choice we face every day. Who are we going to trust? What are we going to put our trust in today? Who will we serve? Who will we trust? And let me give you some ideas of the things people trust. Some people trust in money. Do you put your trust in money? Some people like having large bank accounts. Some people would like to have large bank accounts. Some people have seen large bank accounts from a distance and waved goodbye to them. But that's sort of the fact of money, that money does seem to come and go. And, you know, some of you have lived longer than I have, but I've watched, you know, people lose a lot of money in the stock market, people lose money in banks, all these kind of things. Listen, money comes and goes. Things get good and things get bad. Inflation goes up and your money's worth less. And sometimes having a big bank account doesn't help you put food on the table. You may not know this, but during the Great Depression was worldwide. In Germany during that time, they had a government called the Weimar Republic. Well, when their economy collapsed, and you can see pictures of it in textbooks and history books, people would take a wheelbarrow full of money, a wheelbarrow full of Deutschmarks, of German money, to go to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread. Folks, money doesn't always get you there. The Bible says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. Do you trust in money? Do you trust in just what you can put in your pocket or what you got in your bank account? Or what about, we live in a very technological age. How many of you here have a cell phone? Yeah, we live in a very technological age. How many of you have an electric heat at home? Or gas heat? Okay, how many of you have a television? How many of you drove a car to get here today? All right, we live in a very technological society. Do you trust in science? Do you trust in science? Job 38, verse 4 and 6 says something interesting. Job has been fighting with the Lord and, you know, arguing with him and saying, Lord, why do these things happen? What's going on? And here's the Lord's answer. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? And who laid its cornerstone? God's saying, hey, listen, I know how things were put together and you're not smart enough to figure that out. You want to hear a really sad quote from Albert Einstein? He said, if the facts don't fit the theory, change the facts. And I'm afraid we do that a lot in science. How many of you heard a fellow named Galileo or Copernicus? They were famous scientists, right? Well, and they saw the world a little differently than accepted theory. And you know what happened to them? They got thrown in jail. Because everybody said, if the facts don't fit the theory, then change the facts. And so a lot of people were willing to change the facts. And here's the thing that some of you may not know. How many of you had science in high school? You do realize that the science books that your kids are reading now have different science in them than science you had when you were kids. If you grew up before the atomic age, there were only 92 naturally occurring elements. Anybody know how many elements there are in a science book now? If I got it right, I think there are 115. But there may be a few more. I'm behind the times too. And some of them are man-made elements. Who'd have thought of that? Man-made elements. Right? You remember when they thought the atom was the smallest thing and then they found out, oh, well, you can break the atom down and it's got this and this. And it's got the neutron and the electron and the proton and all that kind of stuff. And you know what we keep finding out? That the farther we get into science, the more we don't understand. Science claims to have all the facts, but the sad part of it is that a lot of times it doesn't. Once people knew the world was flat, then they knew that the earth was the center of the universe, then they knew that the sun was in the center of the universe, then we thought the galaxy was at the center, and now we realize that the galaxy's spinning around and flying through space and all these things are happening, and so I'm not sure that we really know what we think we know. Do you trust in science? Do you trust in men's wisdom? Now, I've got to admit, I've met some wise men in my life. I have met some wise pastors. I've met some wise professors. I've met people, just regular folks who have a lot of just common sense. I think common sense, you all know what an oxymoron is. It's a word that, you know, it's one of those terms that is really sort of you know, like military intelligence, you know, those kind of things. Sometimes I think common sense should be an oxymoron. Because you know what I've discovered? And maybe you have too. Most people don't have any sense. At least in some things, right? And so, you know what I've found is common sense isn't really that common, is it? And when we start paying attention to men's wisdom, we're listening to their ideas of what works. Listen to what the Bible says. It says in Jeremiah 8, verse 9, "The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, so what wisdom is in them?" Here's the problem with the wisdom of men, is that oftentimes men think they're smarter than God. Oftentimes men think they're smarter than God. And what they do oftentimes is try to find ways to move God out of the picture. One of the struggles that's happening in our scientific world right now is a struggle over what's called design theory. You all know what design theory is? I've talked about it before. Okay, I believe that God created the world. Okay, everybody, most of you probably agree with that. I believe God created the world. Now, He may have taken thousands, millions of years, but here's what I personally believe. I believe that the Bible says that God created the world in 6 days about 8 or 10,000 years ago. And I'm okay with that. That's what the Bible says, and God can correct me when I get to heaven, if I'm wrong. Now, here's what design theory says. These are scientists who are looking at the world and they're saying, you know what? This stuff couldn't happen by accident. And there's a big to-do about that in our world today. And you know what the problem is? You know, if you talk about design theory, you know what design implies? You know, if I pull out a cell phone in my pocket, well, if I've got one, yeah, here it is. I've been using my cell phone for a prop light lately. If I told you I found this on the road and it just appeared out of nothing, there was some oil there because it's mostly plastic. There was some metal there, and all of a sudden a truck went over it and there it came. What would you say? That's insane, right? It's too complicated to have just accidentally happened. Well, that's what design theorists are saying in science, that it's just the world is just too complicated, that the human body is just too complicated, that the solar system is just too complicated for it to have happened by accident. Do you trust in men's wisdom? Men's wisdom says that, and what they're doing so often is trying to get God out of the picture. Listen, here, you want to be real serious about things? Let's talk about the struggles we have between people. You know, you can go to Sigmund Freud and he'll tell you it's because you've got issues with your mother. Or you can talk about the different stages of development, and you were hindered in one of your stages of development. You can talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I learned all these things, right? But here's what I found out. You know what the problem people have is? It's sin. The problem we have is sin. Now, don't get me wrong. Do we have other problems going on? Yeah, but they come because of sin. Here's what you need to know. We struggle with sin. See, God has His way He made us, and God has His will that He wants us to accomplish, and we don't want to do it. And so we run away from Him. Now, does that mean you can't get help from a therapist? Sure, you can get help from a therapist, but let me encourage you, get help from a therapist who believes in God and who puts God first in what they're doing. Do you believe in men's wisdom? Do you trust in men's wisdom? One more thing, and then I'm going to move on real quick. Do you trust in your own heart? This is the one that's scary because most of us do this. We trust our own heart. You know how I know most of us trust our own heart? How many of you have ever been grocery shopping? Just raise your hand. You've been grocery shopping. Right? Good. How many of you have been grocery shopping when you're hungry? Okay? All right. If you go in with a list and you're grocery shopping and you're not hungry, you get what's on the list and you leave, right? If you go in shopping, grocery shopping with it, and you're hungry and you've got the list, do you get more? Yeah. How many of you know what a loss leader is? Loss leader? Anybody else know what a loss leader is? A loss leader is when they put something on sale that they actually lose a little bit of money on. But they put it near stuff they want you to buy. You know what the end caps are on the aisles? You know, it's like everybody thinks that, by the way, I just want to let you know this isn't always true. If you go to Kroger or any other grocery store, I don't know, Piggly Wiggly, whatever. If you go to the end of the grocery store and, you know, the stuff they put on the end of the aisle, everybody thinks the stuff on the end of the aisles is on sale. Let me just tell you, it's not. Some of it is, but some of it's not, because here's what they know. You're going to go by the end of every aisle. And they put stuff on the end of the aisle that is going to appeal to your taste. Have you ever noticed there's always Lay's potato chips on the end of the aisle? Do what? Little Debbie's are on the end of the aisle. Right. They're saying, you know, and listen, I've been on a diet for a while. Those things call to you. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. See, we get taken in by those things. Our heart, our mind leads us astray from time to time. We're hungry, so we go this way. Or, I know some of you are going to get mad at me about this. Or, I'm just so in love. If you're older, you've seen young people like this, right? I'm just so in love. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I know he doesn't have a job. And he can't drive. And he's not good looking, but I love him. And guys do the same thing. And we let our hearts get away from us. And you know, sometimes God says, come now, let us reason together, you and I. Let's put things together and let's make sure we put God at the start of things. See, a lot of times we want to tack God on the end, right? Lord, I'm going through the grocery store and I'm on a diet, so you just leave me to whatever you want me to buy. Yeah, that's going to work. And then you get done and you say, you know, as you're checking out, Lord, whatever you don't want, it'll just fall off the edge of the thing and I won't pay for it. Or maybe you need to start with the Lord on the front and say, Lord, help me make my list before I get to the grocery store. And then, Lord, please give me the strength to walk past the little Debbies. And maybe we need to rely on His strength and not ours. Okay, that's, who do you trust? What do you trust? And there are other things people trust in, and you know those kind of things. People trust in all kinds of things. People trust in family, and I'm just telling you, family can let you down. People trust in the church, and I'm going to tell you, churches can let you down. People trust in their pastors, and I'm going to be the first to say, I'm a man, and I've got struggles, and I may let you down. Only God is the one who won't let you down. See, you need to trust God through whatever troubles may come your way. Trust God through troubles. Now, we're going to look real quick at Joseph here for a few minutes. But first, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. There's a couple of guys, and they're getting thrown into a fiery furnace. They refuse to bow down to this idol that's been created by the king. And the king says, well, if you don't, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. And one of my favorite passages of the Bible, here's what these guys say. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they say, if this be so, if you throw us into the furnace, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. What a great picture. They're saying, our God is able, but He doesn't answer to me. And you're going to have to answer to Him, and it doesn't matter what He does to me, I'm going to trust Him anyway. Now, I got to tell you, when you're going through the fire, sometimes that's an uncomfortable thing to say, and sometimes it's hard to say. But what we do, we get in trouble, and we start bargaining with God. Lord, if you'll only get me through this, then I'll start tithing. Lord, if you'll only get me through this, then I'll show up in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays when it's convenient. And that's sort of what we do with God. And God says, I want the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that says, Lord, I trust you no matter what. You're able to deliver me from this circumstance. But Lord, even if you don't, I'm going to trust you till the day I die, and then I'm going to live with you forever afterwards. Romans 8:28 says, we know that those who love God, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, you know, the key verses there, we had the one in Genesis, and we got the one in Romans. If you want to, this will be a good week. We're going to try and do one verse from the Old Testament, one verse from the New Testament to illustrate the points in every sermon this next few weeks. So if you want a good Bible verse to memorize, Romans 8:28 is a great Bible verse to memorize. Another one is Genesis 50, verse 20. So if you wanted to memorize those verses, that would be a great thing to do. Okay? First of all, trust God through trouble. So let's talk about Joseph. Trust God through family when family fails. Remember I mentioned family can sometimes fall apart? Poor Joseph. Now here he is. He comes from a godly family. But let's face it, his dad messed up. Right? His dad married two women and then had two other concubines. And he had 12 sons by all these different women. But he particularly sort of overindulged with one son. He loved Joseph more than he loved all the others, and he made it very obvious to him that he did. And so Joseph, who was a good man, and I want to tell you, Joseph is the one who trusted God through all these troubles, but suddenly family failed. Joseph was out checking up on his brothers, out going to see him, and then what they do? They beat him up, they threw him in a pit, and they sold him into slavery. Listen to what it says, Genesis 37, verse 28. Then the Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up, and they lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Listen, folks, family's going to fail you sometimes. Sometimes family's going to do worse than fail you. Sometimes they're going to betray you, and that hurts. Now, here's one of the things I want you to remember. Here's one of the hard parts. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to love one another. I just want to tell you. You remember that old song? If you grew up in the 70s, you might have heard this song. You remember the song, Love Hurts? Love hurts. Yeah. Well, I'm just here to tell you, there's a truth in that. Did I get the voice right? Was that good? I like that. You want me to sing some more of it? I'm getting no. And so, a few yes. But listen, I just want to tell you, if you're really going to love people, if you're really going to care people, it's going to hurt sometimes. Kids, parents are sometimes going to disappoint you. You love them and they love you, but sometimes they're going to let you down. Sometimes they're not going to let you do what you want them to, they want to do. And sometimes, I know parents, all parents do this. Go ahead. Kids, sometimes your parents are going to be wrong. Okay, now, kids, cover your hands over your eyes. Cover your hands over your ears, sorry. Okay, kids, here, parents, here's the other thing you need to know. Sometimes your kids are going to be wrong. Sometimes they're not only going to make mistakes, they're going to make mistakes. And sometimes it's going to break your heart. And sometimes families fall apart and sometimes you feel betrayed. But you know what? You can always trust God even through those things. And you can trust God through that when family fails, and you can trust God through betrayal. See, Genesis chapter 39, verse 19 and 20. See, Joseph goes to Egypt and he gets sold into slavery. He ends up being a slave in this household. And he does such a good job that his master puts him in charge of everything. But then the master's wife betrays him. The master's wife says, "Hey, listen, you're cute. Let's hook up." And he says, "No, I wouldn't do that. That's wrong." Look what happens. Genesis 39, verse 19 and 20. As soon as his masters heard the words his wife had spoke to him, because the wife went to the master and said, "Hey, this guy, he came after me," which wasn't what happened. "This is the way your servant treated me." His anger was kindled. Verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. You know what? In life, I just want you to know, you're going to have troubles. Family's going to go wrong sometimes, and sometimes you're going to get betrayed. Sometimes you're going to be working for somebody, and you're going to, you know, they're going to have told you for 20 years that your job is going to be secure, that they would never let you go. One day you're going to go in, and there may be a pink slip in your box. And they're saying, "Well, we're not really letting you go. We're just shutting the doors." Well, it doesn't matter to you, does it? You know, sometimes you're going to place your faith in somebody and it's not going to work. And they're going to let you down. But you know what? God will never betray you. You can place your trust in God through betrayal when family fails. You can trust God when you feel forgotten. Let me be real quick here. All of us feel forgotten from time to time. Joseph is in jail. But while he's there, again, he works himself up to sort of being a trustee in the jail. But he's given a gift by God and is able to interpret dreams. And he interprets the dreams of these two guys, and the dreams come true. And the one thing he says to him is, "Remember me when you're gone. You remember when you get out of here. Because I'm here unjustly. It's not fair." And what happens? Genesis 40, verse 23. "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him, and forgot him for 2 years. You ever feel forgotten? You ever feel like you're at work and you've been working hard and nobody ever notices you? You show up and maybe You know, maybe you work in a cubicle and you wonder if anybody even knows you're there in your cubicle that day. And you never know. You know, one of the things being a pastor, I've got to admit, I get instant feedback, good, bad, indifferent. Sometimes I get instant feedback. That morning, somebody's telling me something. But there are a lot of people out there who don't get that. And you know what? Here's what I want you to know. Your family may forget you. Your friends may forget you. Your boss may forget you. But God will not forget you. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can trust God through troubles. And you can trust God to keep score. You ever feel like things just aren't fair? It's just not right. You know, you get to a certain point in life and you realize, you know, things didn't turn out like I planned. And I figured out my plans don't matter that much. Hebrews 10 verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. See, we can trust God to keep score because here's what Joseph said to his brothers. See, what happened? His brothers had betrayed him. Remember, they sold him into slavery. He'd had a horrible time. And finally, his brothers had to come and ask for his help. And as long as their father was alive, they felt safe. But then their father died. Israel died. And it's just Joseph. And Joseph is in charge. And the brothers, they go and say, we're scared. Now you're going to get even with us. And listen what he says. Genesis 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Listen, here's what you need to know. You don't have to keep score. You don't have to hold hatred or bitterness or anger in your heart. If you're willing to trust God, then He can handle all of that kind of stuff. And you don't have to hold a grudge against so-and-so. You don't have to get mad at a family member. And you don't have to get even with people. You can just say, you know what? I'm going to leave it to God to keep score because He's able to. And I don't have to worry about it. Again, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and I didn't look this up or put it in there. But there's a passage in the Bible that says that if you're good to people who are bad to you, that you heap burning coals on their head. I always like that one. Because what God's saying is, let me keep score. You don't have to worry about it. Let me keep score. Let me ask you something. Are you letting God keep score in your life? Here's what I know. Through the story of Joseph, through the story of Adam and Eve, through the story of Noah, through the stories in the beginnings of the Bible, here's what I know. All of us fail and all of us falter. And God is keeping score. But here's what I know. God kept score right up to the cross. And at the cross, Jesus went up onto the cross. And God took whatever debt we held against was held against us. He took whatever sin we committed. He took whatever we had done and He laid it upon Christ on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus paid our debt. And our score is settled. And we are free. It's a new year. It's 2014. Anybody messed up a check yet?
Yeah.
I've only written one check, but I got it right. I started to write it wrong, but I caught myself. You know what? It's 2014. And this year you have a choice. Here's your choice. You can trust God right from the start. You can trust Him to make it right. You can trust Him to keep score. You can trust Him through any kind of trials and troubles. And you can trust Him for your eternal life. And you can start trusting Him today. Now I look around here and I know most of you have trusted Christ. Most of you are believers. Most of you are members of Plum Creek Church. And I'm glad you're here. But I also know that this year, maybe you've been struggling with trust. Maybe you're here today and you haven't trusted in Christ. Maybe today is the way to start a new year the right way. Let me ask if you would to stand. Maybe today you need to come down to the altar and just lay some burdens down here and say, Lord, there's an area in my life I haven't been trusting You. And you just need to say, you know, I just want to lay that down. Maybe you need to share it with Tony or I. Tony usually comes up here with me. And maybe you need to share it with one of us and just say, pray for me about this. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I haven't trusted You with my life. And I want to start this new year. I want to start 2014 with faith in You. So you come as we sing. This is your opportunity to respond as God leads you. You come.
If you would, take your hymnals and turn to page 762. Page 762.